Well, happy new year. How you doing?
It's almost the new year, but people are hearing this in the new year.
That's right.
We're time traveling again.
That's
what
right.
What day is
we
it?
Have, we
what
have gone back to the future.
Who's the president?
Richard's getting sucked down a portal.
Worst things have happened in the last couple of weeks, I can assure you.
Especially for you.
Well, yeah, I've had it rough with the phony coronavirus that definitely does exist.
you got the fake one? Cold. You got the fake one?
Oh, of course. Is there any other
good.
One?
All right. Yeah.
Before we get on, I feel in the light of last week's episode where we interviewed and chatted to Keelan, who you may know as KDH, who's super, super young, by the way, Bri. I did not realize how young he was until we actually got him on the show. And I thought, oh, he's my daughter's age.
Yeah, he's quite, I mean, just he comes off very wise and more mature than I would say, than I was expecting.
Right.
Someone
for one so young, yeah. And kind of like some of the stuff he's been through. It was really interesting. So listen to the show. But I feel I better confess to all the crimes that I have committed in the past before he puts a show out about me. So in 1986, I definitely do. In 1986, I borrowed a copy of Alfred Hitchcock's Monster Museum from the Great Missenden Church of England School Library. I never returned that book.
I need a boo. Hold on, let's see if I got a boo here somewhere.
Is there a boo?
Has he actually got a working media library this week? Has he? Has he? No.
You know what? They changed it again. I got it. I got here. Wait, nope, doesn't work yet. Never mind. Ignore me.
In 1989, I performed a crime to fashion and wore fluorescent yellow socks with black slip-on shoes. In 1992, I once accidentally moved a priest's cassock from under his stole, causing much confusion. Do I need to go on?
Yes.
Oh, I really don't.
Is there more? You've done more worse stuff than that.
These are the worst crimes.
All you
I've
have
committed.
To do, okay. Listeners, is you just go subscribe to the Patreon, where you can hear Richard and I on the previous episode talking about all the degenerate things that we did in our youth.
Yes. I'm a terrible man. A terrible,
actually,
terrible, terrible
actually, there's
man.
Some there's some damaging things. Don't subscribe to the Patreon. There's some damaging things there.
You get pretty
definitely
gnarly.
Don't.
I'm just saying there was a drive-by
strategy.
Airsoft shooting.
This is a new marketing strategy. Don't subscribe because we'll probably be in prison or something.
Yeah. Don't let that
get out to the public.
I took pyrotechnics to a cinema. No, do not talk about it. Actually, my cousin was just over, and that has led to many things which I'll come on to. But one of the things that came on to... Did I ever tell you the story of when my younger cousin, I think I must have mentioned this, blew up a federal mailbox using an M80 explosive? You know, the quarter stick of...
No, but I imagine that that's...
Apparently, it's quite a serious crime to blow up a mailbox.
That's a federal
out there.
Crime here. Yeah.
He was visited by the boys with shades. Let's just put it that way. So, that's what happens if you sell children those sort of pyrotechnics at Halloween or whenever you sell them.
It's really the fireworks store problem, right? They should have never sold it to him.
Exactly.
They didn't do a proper background check.
That's right. No. It's their fault. That's
otherwise, they would have found he also had about 400 of them stashed at home. So
I tell you about my dad's mailbox contraption. I can't remember if I ever told you about this story.
Huh. Rings a bell, but then
as tradition, you know, people would drive by and smash, you know, mailboxes with baseball bats like they were a teenage bully in an 80s movie, you know, type
Very
of thing.
Very common here. Yeah.
And so he bought a rubber mailbox and put it on a hinge so that when it happened, it would just fall over and he'd just go out and pop it back up and no big deal. And then they blew it up. and so his response to that was actually pretty brilliant. He got a garage-made, insanely heavy-duty, solid steel mailbox that was like, I don't know, almost a half inch thick, probably, if I had to guess. Just the beefiest. So the opposite, instead of it falling
Portland
over.
The internet just being disconnected.
I think the Portland internet just died.
What? I can see you guys fine. You guys are fine.
So you had us on the edges of our seats. So.
Yeah, we were like,
what?
Industrial.
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
We had nothing at all.
Where did I cut off at?
So he had this stainless steel mailbox, and then what?
He had the big... I didn't quite finish. I didn't say what you guys started like, oh, Portland internet. I'm like, what? Okay. What's going on? Anyway, he had the big beefy mailbox, and then now it's frozen.
You might need to, I don't know, maybe change your internet service?
You know, I only have problems with you guys, and I use the same service.
It's me.
Every
I am
week.
The curse. Yeah. I'm giving you electronic COVID.
Anyway, solid steel mailbox came out. There was a small dent in it one day and some bat parts. And it was like, oh, that didn't feel good. And that never happened again. So that's the end of that story.
Bat parts? So the bat actually exploded or broke?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
So that was a bad evening. Yeah.
Have you ever known anyone to do that? Because I have, and apparently that can really hurt your hands and wrists.
I'm sure that it does. This
is a very American thing. So in England, we don't have... Now, this is going to blow Brian's mind completely. I know. We don't have mailboxes, Brian. That's
a fact. What do you put mail in? Like a slot in the door?
Exactly. Through the front door.
Some people have mail slots, yeah.
Well, it makes it a lot harder to do a drive-by batting. But also quite a lot more violent if that does happen.
Hold on. So I used to live in an apartment complex when I was a kid that had mail slots. I can tell you there are other things that you could do in mail slots.
Yes.
They probably aren't cool, you know?
They are very not cool.
You know, let's say you have to use the restroom real bad. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, things could happen, you know?
But that is definitely, as far as I'm aware, an American phenomenon, the drive-by mailbox violence. But as I said, my cousin took it to another level when he exploded an M80. Because this came about because we were reminiscing about the time we may or may not have, and it was 30 years ago, so you can't arrest me now, let off some sort of firework in the Roosevelt Tunnel in New York City. And that thing was loud. You couldn't do that today. If you did it today, you'd be arrested immediately. But back then,
we're calling for the extradition of one Mr. Richard Oliver. We're going to need you to
extradition, son.
Well, an extra one. this isn't Patreon.
I mean, just one would be nice.
Reel it back in.
Reel it back in. Blake, I have to tell this chronologically because so many parts of the past few weeks kind of come from what's happened to me in the past 2 weeks. So
okay.
I got the COVID. The COVID hit the day before my cousin, Paul, who listens to the show, was due to land in the UK for what was essentially going to be a week of like hanging and jamming and all of that good stuff. Instead, I couldn't even pick him up from the airport. My mum had to pick him up. He went to their house. My mum then got COVID and he had to roam the country like a wandering minstrel looking for a home. So eventually by Wednesday of last week, he kind of got into a hotel and I came to visit him. And the first very brilliant thing happened, which was he wanted a guitar to play while I wasn't around. So I took him my Gordon Smith T-style, Telecaster style. Loved it, even though he noted it was quite heavy and has a bowed neck. But what amp do you take? What amp do you take to your hotel room of your cousin who wants to jam, Bri?
Katana.
I did not take my Katana because my daughter has taken that. I took my Soldano mini amp. Well, I just definitely
did. Oh, yeah, that's right. You do have a mini amp. Yeah, that'd be
I took my Soldano mini amp and my custom 8-inch cabinet. And that thing is awesome. It's so good. Like, you can walk through a hotel, no one can tell that you have something that can make people scream at midnight. I mean, they might do, but, you know. So we took that, we set that up. That's a great little thing, just to have one of those. It's worth having a mini amp, just so that if you ever find yourself in the, I need something to lend someone to jam with overnight, it's there. It's brilliant. I think I should stop manufacturing.
So you need
cabs.
Some little MIDI pad drums, you know, like the little miniature set of MIDI pads.
Oh yeah, you could put them on top of the amp.
Yeah, that way you can, you know, one person can play drums, one person can play guitar, And throw Mike in there, and you got a full band, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a bad shout, Bri. I like
Busting out some cold rhymes?
Cold rhymes? Okay.
Rhymes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he did.
Yeah, cold rhymes.
My name is Richard, like, and I'm here to say.
I'm going to podcast every day.
Yeah.
I'm not. Although it feels like it sometimes. he bought me the chips that you recommended. He bought me
chips.
Tim's jalapeno chips and I forgot the other name, Zapp's Voodoo Chili or whatever they're called. You can correct me if I've got that wrong.
Voodoo Chow, I think. Voodoo, not chili, Voodoo Chow.
Slight return.
I don't think they are named after the Hendrix song. Yeah. So I can review both of those for you, Blake. The jalapeno ones are mighty hot, but they're lovely. What? They're really nice chips.
They're not that hot.
But if you have, I mean, maybe we're calibrated differently, but that is a hot chip. The other ones were really sweet and zingy, and I liked them. But the jalapeno ones were quite hot, Blake. How many can you eat before requiring lubrication?
Oh, a whole bag.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you just say lubrication? And
have you been eating asbestos all your life?
What?
It's lubrication as in, you know, something for your throat, Bri, like water or ice cream or milk.
When is water lubrication?
Okay.
That's the thing I like to put in my car, you know.
I don't want to answer that. I use water.
Richard.
I don't want to answer that question because it could lead me into trouble in at least seven states out there. but they are some hot chips, Blake. I enjoyed those. We did finally get to jam. At the end of the week, my cousin came here and we played some Pink Floyd's and we jammed. And, you know, it was brilliant, but I was kind of disappointed in myself because you forget how much calibration it takes to get your amps to sound good together. We just don't think about it when we're sat in our bedroom or in our studio. But when I plug the bass amp in and he's playing the bass and I've got this Soldano cranked, I'm like, this all just sounds muddy and weird, and what's going wrong here? I mean, some of the time, I might have had the tone knob rolled off. That makes a difference.
Why does it sound so muddy? Is the treble all the way down? Yes.
Yeah, maybe. Yes. All right. Okay. Yeah, so what? But no, actually,
neck
there
pickup,
is
treble all the way down. Way oh, yeah. Of,
there is a different way of calibrating your amps and your sound to play with other musicians, which, unless you do it regularly, you kind of forget about. Are you with me on that one, Bri?
I'm trying to figure out what you're saying exactly.
I'm saying you need to have more treble when you're playing with a bass guitar than you might need if you're playing without a bass guitar. Because you want to cut through.
It depends. It depends because think about it. Instrumentation, right? So if you have a trumpet, you have piano, maybe another form of keys like the B9.
This
you know,
is the greatest
like
ska band I've ever heard of.
You got harmonica, you got steel guitar, you got harpsichord, because isn't that what Blake has is the harpsichord? You know what that's
the harpsichord.
No. The buttons.
The harpsichord.
What's that called?
It's called the Omni Mega Hyperchord.
There you go. That thing. You got one of those things. And then you got, of course, you got a couple kazoo players in the back. Now you got all kinds of frequency play.
This is the biggest redneck orchestra I've ever heard of in my life.
And then you got a goat, you know? So on top of all that stuff, you got to try to figure out where you're going to fit in the frequency spectrum.
Can you boost my boost my and my monitors?
anyways, so long story short, Richard, yes, you're right.
Right, thank you. long story short, turn up the treble when playing with a bass guitar. Thank you.
Oh, man. My New Year's resolution is I am going to be dumber this year.
Impossible.
And
that's impossible, bro.
I still have more room. I have more room.
He still manages to log on to this program somehow. Yeah.
That's right. That's
I mean, it's a good time for us to look at our New Year's resolutions as a smooth segue.
I'm going to find more germanium diodes. That's another one. That'd be nice.
You can just buy some off Analog
Man. Try not to get...
He made a whole video showing how he had a reel of them.
He has two reels of them. That's absolutely
two reels.
Right. But by the way, Mike, I will buy all those off you. Just let me know. Give me a shout.
Shout out.
Yeah. Buy them all. I'll buy them all.
So, let's talk about New Year's resolutions. Blake, what do you have in your mind for how you're going to change in 2024?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I am going to not change by being awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty awesome. So why would I want to be any different, you know? If I could grow an extra eye that would work, that would be a nice change. But I don't think that's probably going to happen.
Hey. Give it some time, man. Maybe 10 or 15 years. You never know.
Have you tried typing that into ChatGPT, seeing if it can fix it for you?
Grow me an eye. Can
write code in Python to grow me an eye.
Yeah, no, I don't really do New Year's resolutions per se.
We've discussed this before.
Yeah.
They're just an excuse for me to beat myself up for how much of a massive failure I am, right? But you don't play that game. But I like to taunt you with it.
Yeah, I might have some goals here or there, but I rarely am like, well, new year, new me. I'm like, nope, same old me. That's what you're going to get. That's what you're getting. It's worked so far.
I was thinking more, though, about like gear-related goals. Is there some new gear you want, or do you want to learn to do something different with gear you've got?
That's a good one. I am always trying to get better at the old mixing. There's always something to learn with that stuff. I'm just like trying to get things to sound better in the context of a song or even a pedal demo. Just trying to get better at mixing is, I think, as much of a never-ending journey as learning to get better on the guitar. And I find that stuff very fascinating and very rewarding. And I have gotten a lot better at it. And I'm still not that good at it. That's the thing. There's a lot of room to grow there. I'm not that good of a guitar player either. But like for some reason, it satisfies that like tendency I have towards modifying and tweaking and changing things. Like I really enjoy mixing, and I want to continue to learn more and get better at that. I don't know if that's really a resolution, though. It's just kind of something I want to do.
Do you resolve to do it?
I guess.
Then it is a resolution.
What? All right.
I preempted the answer because you're about 4 seconds lagging at the moment. But
yeah, you got some serious lag going on there, my man.
It appears to be fixing itself. One of the things I would say about mixing is... you only ever realize how little you know about mixing when you start to learn about mixing. Because up until about a year ago, all of my mixing was add a little bit here, cut a little bit there, shelve it there, a bit of compressor here, a bit of reverb there. Yeah, sounds fine. Boom, knock it out, send it off to Simon Cowell. Now I'm looking at every single frequency band and going, should I be doing this? Should I be using this? And I know nothing. And I've watched about 8 courses so far, and I know less whilst simultaneously knowing loads more, because I'm now frightened of doing anything because I know that everything I do is wrong. And that's that kind of... that's like when you first learn to play the guitar and you learn a few scales and you think you're brilliant because you can like improvise on those scales. That's a very happy place to be. When you actually realize you know nothing and you have to practice for years just to be mediocre, that's a depressing place to be.
I don't know. There's something about always changing and growing and never knowing anything. What's so funny?
Blake has he's got a strymon on his voice right now. There's about a 8.
Well, what's amusing is he sent us a screenshot showing how his latency was amazing. And when it came in, it then took him 20 seconds to answer the last question that I asked him.
I blame Richard.
It's definitely my fault. I've learned that this week. Everything is my fault. So the COVID kind of ruined things for me, but I have been thinking about my New Year's resolutions. Resolution number one is to own a Jazzmaster and not an acoustic one. So... I definitely think that's got to happen.
That is something I don't have. I do not have a Jazzmaster.
See, I'm thinking
you're never going to get a Jazzmaster
platform for.
I really need to because I love the Fender stuff. I would call myself more of a Fender player than I would like a Gibson player. Even though, well, I like my 335 too. I'm a liar. I like them both, but I think I really do need a Jazzmaster.
I think it's the final frontier for me. I think there's got to be a Jazzmaster this year. And I quite like the idea of sticking some noiseless pickups in something because I haven't got any and my daughter has and they're brilliant. So I might get myself a Jazzmaster and then try messing with the pickups. Don't know. We'll see.
What Jazzmaster does she have? Oh, she has noiseless pickups. You didn't say she had a Jazzmaster. Got it.
Yeah. Although she does have a Jaguar bass. Short scale bass.
That's cool.
That's almost
So what kind of pickups? I mean, so you're assuming you're going to get a Jazzmaster and the pickups going to suck, right? Or else you wouldn't.
Maybe.
So what are you wanting to change them to?
Well, I've been looking at the that Greg Koch set from Fishman. And their stuff tends to be utterly amazing. And Stefan, our colleague, is like, once you put Fishman's in something, you will never have other pickups in anything ever again. And when someone endorses something that much, I kind of have to try it out, Bri. So I think
you should try it. My opinion's a little different, but you should try them, see if you like them.
Yeah, I think I
like
them.
I haven't played the Greg Koch ones, but I like them quite a bit. But I wouldn't quite say that. I wouldn't quite say I'll never need anything else but I'm also using them for the chugs, and they're brilliant for that. The ones that I have. I have the Javier Reyes 8-string pickups. So they're a little specific. And I'm sure that Fishman have, a range of other sounds. I know they do because I've played their 6-string humbucker, like more traditional ones too, and they're great. But I think you would probably really enjoy just some traditional Jazzmaster sounds, though, Richard. Like just regular.
Well, good I'm going to try that Jazzmaster. First, but I feel like fiddling. I'm not going to lie. I feel like fiddling. I've got. I will talk about my next fiddling project in a minute. But I want to do some. Fiddling.
Why don't you just get a violin then?
Yeah, man, it's probably a good... Because they're difficult to play, Blake. We've been through that.
They are.
You have to be a genius to play a violin properly. Properly. So my resolutions for 2024 are get a Jazzmaster and stop being such a dick and be a better person. But I think I'll only achieve one of those. So let's see
what think you'll probably get a Jazzmaster.
It's probably going to happen.
I think you're probably not going to stop being a jerk.
It's very unlikely, isn't it? Let's face it. Why change the habit of a lifetime? So, Bri, have you got any resolutions? I mean, yours is to be more stupid. You've already told us that, but what's your real resolution? Got any new pedals coming out?
I'm being stupid, but I think I go back and forth, and I don't want to let too many cats out of too many bags here, but I definitely am excited about our releases. I want to do... I want to do more things. So
that's done, Bri. I could tell you were trying to think of a way of anonymizing your content there. It's like, more how things. Can I give them a hint without giving them things, stuff?
I want to do more stuff.
Now, I'm going to say,
that's something for.
I just want to have more.
Like, I literally. This sucks. This is so terrible. This lag is freaking killing me. Okay, so I want to do a video per week, and I want it to be of a certain type on the YouTube. And I think I would like to do a lot more releases this year. I think, but without
a lot more lasers,
without just releases.
Oh, okay.
I think some more releases. Yeah. I want to do some. I want to do a little bit more on the DIY side as well.
Yes. I would like to talk to you now about the DIY side because I have my latest kit from the wonderful folk at Jed's Peds in the UK. I have the P9 Muff Kit. PI9 Pig, really. Let me show you
is
the
op amp or is this transistor?
It's transistor, Bri.
Okay.
So look, there's the unpopulated circuit board, Bri. It's quite a big one for me. Mm-hmm. It's got a few holes in it. That's going to be fun.
So this is the not a muff then.
This is the not a muff. So I mean, it requires a little bit more putting together than the Nauticlon kits, I think.
Yeah.
But the transistor is a 5088. Ooh. It uses 4 5088 transistors.
High gainers, huh?
That's what I was about to ask you. Tell me about the 5088 transistor, Bri. I think you already did, though, so...
There's not a whole lot to say. It's a higher gain one, and it might be a little more noisy.
But that's not a, you know, that's not a traditional type of transistor, is it?
Nah, I don't think for the muff.
Is it PNP or NPN?
NPN. Is it NPN? Let me see. I forget on that one.
And it's not a metal canister one. It's a plastic one. So
yeah, same thing. Same package. Yeah, it's an NPN. That's right.
But easier to. Blake appears to have gone to sleep. Either that or his lag is really bad.
I think his lag is just so terrible. Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people talk about the op amp big muffs, right? That was the one that was kind of cool like circuit. The Gilmore mm-hmm. thing. So yep. maybe once I've built the transistor big muff, the answer is to move on to the op amp big muff, is it?
Yes. So that's actually one of the videos I want to do is I want to mess around with the op amp big muff.
One of the videos that I want to do, which I'm writing notes for now, that Richard has just given me the idea to do because he is doing something that I can monetize.
I gotta find my schematic. Okay.
Oh, so, what's going on
that's
here?
That's right. So the big problem with the op amp big muff is that you have actually the same problem as the transistor big muff. Your output impedance is so high that I would label that stupid.
Okay.
And so therefore, you really need to put a buffer in there. Got to put a buffer before you go out.
So, but at the end of the chain. So essentially, you send out your stupid impedance signal and then stick a buffer over it to buff it down to shape. Is that what you're saying?
Is that how
it works?
You basically think of it as Legos. You run this circuit into
Legos? I'm more advanced than Legos, my friend.
You run this into a buffer circuit and then you go out.
I've copped a lot of crap for my controversial Lego views. I'm just going to tell you, I get at least one post a day where someone is showing me the Lego kit they've bought and writes something like, "So you think I'm just a child, do you, Mr. Oliver?" Yes, I do. A big child who I'm jealous of, all right? Yes, I would like to have the Death Star in Lego. Of course I would. But I am a parent, so that's never going to happen. Back to the big muff, Bri.
Yep.
Tell me
about
it.
You need a buffer. No matter which version you're building, you need a buffer at the end. Now, I'm not a big fan of that tone sack. I know it does a thing. But I like to change it so it's a little more mid-peaky. We cut through a little better.
So I've got a question for you about one of the controls on it, though. And, of course, it comes back to the original Big Muff, which is the sustain control on it. How are you qualifying the sustain control on a Big Muff, a standard Big Muff, and what are you actually controlling, and what part of the circuit are you messing with to control it?
You're talking on the transistor?
Yes.
Give me 3 seconds. So stall for 3 seconds while I find
a big stall
schematic.
I will mention while Blake was sleeping, he had his head covered in his brand new Rocket Music Gear tone hat that I bought him and Brian for Christmas.
Look at that on this audio podcast.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a rather beautiful hat from the guys and girls actually at Rocket Music Gear. You can find their stuff at rocketmusicgear.etsy.com. I came across them first. Well, I've seen their stuff. I actually didn't realize that the person who runs it and the business were the same thing because I get a lot of kind of guitar-related people reach out to me on Facebook. And I posted a picture of the hat and they were a little bit miffed that I hadn't given them credit. So I immediately fixed that. But the reality is it's like what I've said before. If I don't give somebody credit when I repost something on Facebook, it's not that I don't want to. It's just I've completely forgotten who it was that posted it in the first place because I'm part of 4 trillion guitar groups. However, this one right. should have stuck out. But yeah, I sent Brian and you a hat for Christmas, but Brian hasn't shown me his hat yet. I think he's already
given it to a goat. Well, I'm in the barn. It is in my house, so I can't be asked to go walk there and get it now.
Very
well. My wife said, take that out to the shed where it belongs.
I need to, yes. So to answer your question, the quote-unquote sustain control is literally just exactly like a volume control before the gain circuit. So it's just doing what a tube amp does. That's how you control gain. That's generally how you control the gain.
So sustain is wrong, really. And that's what I was thinking. I was thinking sustain was a little bit of marketing. Because the reality is it's another gain control.
It's so frustrating because I see on different gear groups quite a bit where someone says, no, the control says it's a, you know, I don't know, it's a fatness control. Therefore, it definitely has to control the fatness. I'm like, it's literally just an EQ stage. It's just an EQ stage. A company can put whatever they want on the pedal. It doesn't matter what they call it. You know, it's just printing. They can name it anything.
Right.
And where do you put the fat in the circuit, though?
Depends.
Before the buffer.
I need the fat. Where do I put? Like, I have a bunch of fat. I cut some chorizo this weekend, and I feel like it could go in a pedal.
What did you cut it with?
No, that's a totally different type of fat.
Oh.
Huh. I'm talking about when you look at the EQ curve,
you need
the
lard?
EQ frequency spread. We're talking
or
about
butter.
No, just the fat part of the frequency.
You know, fat, P-H-A-T, pretty hot and toneful. That's the control that we put. I am part of, in fact, I am the founding member of the Society for Bringing Back Sensible Names for Guitar Knobs. I haven't thought of a clever acronym yet, but there must be one. Because I cannot stand when you make me think about what a control is on a guitar pedal. Like, again, we've gone through the whole jokes of this is scrongly, this is milky, this is very glacier-like. But honestly, if you put controls that don't do what they say they do, I'm never going to use your pedal. Because if I have to look at your pedal and go, well, what does the parabolic width do? And I have no idea what it does. Or it says, toast, what does the toast control do? I'm never going to use it. Because I just don't
brownness.
Have...
You need the brown sound, you put on more toast.
Maybe. But you see, you think that. For me, maybe it controls the amount of marmalade applied, because that would be a more British application of toast. So I don't like it.
I don't know. I don't care that much. I just turn the knobs and find out what I think sounds good. I really don't even care what they say. I only use it for reference later, not when I'm like exploring a pedal.
I think I'm probably the opposite of that. I want to know what frequency it is. I want to know what the width of the frequency is. I want to know.
Most people don't even know what the frequency range for a guitar is. So that would mean nothing to them. You'd be like, oh, this controls a little bit of the 4K. Blah, 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 blah. Most people don't even know what that is.
Actually, really? it's the 5K. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
So if someone says it's 1K. Most people don't know what 1K
most players have no idea what that means.
Are you for real?
For real.
You're blowing my mind right now. Are you being serious?
I am dead serious. They don't know.
You know what? I want to hear from if you don't know what we mean when we say 1K, I want to hear from you.
I think they might know that it's a part of the frequency spectrum, but they don't know, like, they couldn't like listen to a sound and be like, that sounds it's about 1K.
Let's elevate this because
I can do that because I've spent some time in the box trying to figure out what that means. So, But most people who just play and rip around, they don't know.
You know, when I was 16 and I had my Krako car stereo with a 3-band EQ on it, there was a dial that said 1KHZ. And I learned real quick, when you turn it up, it gets honky. And when you turn it down, it gets scary.
No, that was just the music you were listening to.
Yeah. You were just listening to some honky music.
Honky tonk.
I'm going to say
honky
this,
listeners.
Music.
That's where the country tones come in, right?
Rather than contact Brian and tell him that he, you know what 1K is. I would like everybody listening to maybe just leave a little voice message for Brian with your singing impersonation of a 1 kilohertz tone, please.
Yes, that would be exactly. Exactly.
That would be fantastic.
And if you're really talented, 20 hertz. 20 hertz. Yeah, I want to hear that.
Let's hear 20 hertz, yeah.
Yeah.
And 20,000 hertz. Actually, both.
And 20,000.
Yeah.
If you got that range, baby, you got a career.
You know, the human body vibrates at about five or six hertz?
A mini Ripperton on the phone calling from the grave. She wants to demonstrate 20,000 hertz. I wonder if anyone has ever used the guitar to find the resonant frequency of a structure and destroyed that structure using the tones from their guitar. That's a possible physical thing to do. That should be your New Year's resolution, Blake, to destroy something using the resonant frequency of the material.
Yeah, I mean, you've got those ducks or whatever it was that you were using frequencies to...
Yeah, they haven't been really back this year, which is nice. I wonder what happened. So weird.
Hey, I got a new guitar for Christmas, gentlemen.
What? You did?
I did. Would you like to
see
the guitar?
Way to bury the lead.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Hold on. It's very pink.
See, I dig it.
That's fun.
GT Pro Performer Pink, I'm going to call that. I like that
color.
Yeah. Anna calls it, I'm asking you lots of questions on Christmas Day about your sexuality, Pink. But, you know, that's my wife. I like it. So it's a Black Star travel guitar because I intend to travel next year and I want something to plug in. It feels a little bit like a ukulele in my hand, so it's about the size of a ukulele.
You're also like 6'9", though.
No, I'm 6'1", but 6'2"-ish. But yeah.
Richard's holding a baritone guitar right now for everybody that's listening. Yeah,
it looks like a ukulele.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is it's 18 frets, so you know you're not going to be playing the solo for money on it. Let's put it that way, or potentially even Hotel California. But you can play most things. The frets are pretty much full size. They're not bad. Hmm. I mean, you have to squish them down a little bit. But
who makes this thing?
This is a Black Star carry-on, it's called. Nice little bolted neck.
Black Star, the amp company.
Yeah. Single, I guess it's a mini humbucker and a Les Paul-style bridge and a tone, and you can see where the strings go. Interestingly, I was going to take some strings with me. Well, I've just read it's strung with 12 to 52s to keep the tension at that length.
Because of scale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be needing me some 12 to 52s, but I'll take some 11s with me just to be see what happens. Hopefully, I won't break it in my suitcase. But I've learned a very valuable lesson here, boys, because when you plug it in, it sounds amazing. So you know when people say, "Oh, I've got this, and it's ash wood, or it's this wood, or it's that." Tone isn't in the wood; it's in the pickups, my friends. And the amps.
I think Jim Lil did a video about this and it blew a lot of folks' minds.
It did. It blew up the internet, much like Brian when he announced the Tumnus Germanium Deluxe 3. We didn't announce that.
The Super Deluxe Germanium.
The double
extra germanium diode in here.
Extra germanium a nose.
Mm-hmm.
I really dig it, and I paid £100 from the lovely gentleman. This is an Anderton special edition, I think. So I'm directly paying towards Lee Anderton's legal fees. I don't know, whatever he spends his money on. But I love it. Thanks, Lee. You've made my Christmas. It's the second best thing that I did this Christmas was get that and play around with that. Very, very flexible guitar. Yeah, the first best thing was my Scalextric track, but we'll come on to that. But you can play it properly. Like, you can bend it properly. It feels good. It doesn't feel like a premium guitar, clearly. It was £100, but it doesn't feel like it was badly made. And it seems to kind of, like, the intonation seems pretty good. The only thing I would say is it does tend to go out of tune a little bit quicker than a regular guitar. So you probably have to tune it every hour to keep it perfect, I would say. But
it's also new, so that could have something to do with it.
It is new, and it's been abused because it's been around my lounge and it's Christmas time and there's all kinds of noxious fumes and gases that may be being emitted that can warp wood. But that was an interesting thing with my cousin. So my cousin Paul has always been really brilliant with all things like mechanical and woodworky, and he's got like one of those shops where all the tools are neatly laid out. And he borrowed my guitar, and he looks at every guitar and he went, "No, the neck's bowed on this, dude." I'm like, "It is? I never noticed." And he showed me how to look at it and work out that the neck was indeed bowed. And I was like, "Well, I could adjust the truss rod on it." He's like, "Yeah, the reality is when summer comes around, it's probably just going to spring back into place." So I was going to ask you guys, do you ever really worry if your necks get slightly bowed in the winter? Yes. Or you do worry?
I have this weird problem where I have too many guitars and the humidity is always changing. So that means like three times a year, I'm literally taking all my guitars in to get completely reset up and tweaked on and all that kind of stuff. I don't have the time to actually work on them.
No,
so right now I got a buddy down the road who he's been working on all my fretwork and my necks and everything else because everything just goes completely out of whack.
Interesting.
Except for my Whitfields. My Whitfields do really good.
Well, luckily my Les Paul, which is now an official vintage Les Paul, that's very straight because that would have worried me if it was like that's gone really curvy, but that's pretty solid, right? But the Telecaster, it needs a bit of love. So I don't know whether I probably need to just go and get a few of my guitars set up, I think.
You know, I have tried 1,000 times to set up guitars and that for some reason, I just don't have that skill. Every time I do, I just
Which
mess it up.
Which is really
more.
Surprising because you are like a natural woodworker. Like your happy
it's
places
very
with
strange.
A framing hammer and a piece of wood, surely.
I love that kind of stuff. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. For some reason, guitars just, every time I do work on them, like as far as like trying to fix that type of thing, it just completely makes it worse. It just plays even worse. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
I'm guessing you're brilliant at adjusting guitars, Blake, because you are very handy with all things.
I can do it. And I have, but fortunately I have the opposite situation of Brian. It's pretty stable out here and I don't tour, you know, so everything stays
Yet.
In pretty
on,
good shape most
early
of the
days.
Time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, interesting.
But yeah, I can definitely get it set up to where, it's playing right. The thing is usually what I'll do when I say that it's pretty stable and it is, but like if I go like 3 or 4 years and it's like, I haven't had a guitar worked on in a while, I can probably pick out 3 or 4 of them that could use some adjustment here or there. And by that time, it takes so much of my time, I'll just drop it off at my preferred local tech. Just like I could do it, but he's going to have it done in 2 days, you know, and I can just go pick it up and it's ready to rock again. Or I can spend an hour here, an hour there. Oops, got to go do something else now. Oh, another hour here, hour. And like, by the time I get through all of them, it'll be 3 weeks. And it's just easier for me just to take it to him, do the thing. And
I think I'm going to have
on,
to invest
even though
in
I
some setups
do know how to do year. A lot of it.
Yeah, no, I think that's what I'm going to have to do. Guys, I don't know whether you saw this article. I think it was on Total Guitar. But this, actually Guitar World, this journalist has discovered such crazy things as Joe Bonamassa's Seafoam Green Jazzmaster Backscratcher and his Flying V Salt and Pepper Pots. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they are the very subjects we discussed about 3 years ago. Are we that far ahead of our time?
Was that 2019 or 2020? Yeah.
I mean,
get with the program, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you may be getting the big bucks as a, you know, journalist for the guitar mags, but we're the kids on the scene. We've broken a back scratch already.
Maybe it's just one of those things where it's a slow news week and you're like, you know what? I haven't given Joe some love for a while. Let's give him some merch love.
I haven't given Joe love for at least 3 days. I better publish another article about him.
Speaking of giving Joe love, I mean, did you see that a scammer posing as him was sending love messages to Joanne Shaw Taylor via DMs on Instagram?
What?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think that's an amusing prank. By the way, my friend Mark pulled off the best Christmas prank on me. He sent me a fake £50 voucher for the business owned by the person who has ripped me off the most on this planet, whose name makes my blood boil when I think about it. And he like sent me a £50 voucher to go and use at his facilities. And I was like, looked at it. I was like, Is this genuine? Oh my God. I mean, my blood did start to boil. It's boiling now a bit. That was a good prank. That got me completely.
Hey, before we go,
Hold on. It's Joe Banamassa. B-A-N-A.
Yes.
M-A-S-S-A.
Banamassa. And Joe Banamassa.
He's happy, but not that much happy, according to his profile.
I would like to be called Joe Banamassa. I think that would be a good stage name.
That's a good fake profile right there. That's funny.
Joe Banamassa. Yeah. Yes, I think it is time for us to go. Who's reading out the credits this week?
All right, well, let me give a huge shout out to our executive producers real quick. All right. Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Night Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Radar Frosted, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fournays, Dylan Toxtone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Tom Kelly, Jake Young from the Man the Helm podcast, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Gibberito, El Gibberito, is that right? El Gibberito? All right, I don't know what that means. Maybe it means Telecaster in Spanish or something. Nick Spano, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Pedals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bauman, Bowman, that gets me every time. That's what you are now, Mark. Mark Bauman, Christopher Logan, and Jason Englehart. And we'll see you on Patreon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.